Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome everyone here to Thomas Village Baptist Church. Joining here in the fellowship hall and also joining us on Facebook Live. The choir has a special treat. Like today is our Christmas cantata. We'll be singing Hope Has Hands is the name of the cantata. So we'll be looking forward to having that take place. Just in announcements for events and things taking place this week. Next Sunday is Christmas, December 25th, next Sunday. This evening, there is no Awana. Awana is currently on break, with the kind of just stays with the school schedule. So no Awana this evening, but regular evening service at 6 p.m. will be taking place. For this Thursday, I believe that's December 22nd, this Thursday, the Christmas caroling has been canceled, but instead there will be a fellowship time, just pertaining to weather, namely weather and temperature. So a fellowship time here at the church, still taking place from 6 to 8 p.m., have some board games, hot cocoa, and just some time of fellowship. And then lastly, again, I said next Sunday will be Christmas. There will be, just on Christmas Day, there will be a 2 p.m. service taking place. So no Sunday school or no 11 a.m. service, no 6 p.m. service, but just a 2 p.m. service. Yeah. With that, let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get our service started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for another privilege, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to be just together as one body, Lord, to praise and worship you, Father. Lord, I just ask your blessings here, Lord, Lord, upon just the message behind the cantata as the choir sings it, Father, Lord, and I ask blessings, Lord, upon whatever message that Pastor Brian has for us as well, Father. I just lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been a real blessing to work with this choir, and I hope this cantata is a blessing to you, and hope you enjoy it.
All the world has joy for the baby born.
Now hope is alive. Holy Spirit revealed to me that I would not die before I had seen the Christ. Knowing this, I awoke every morning wondering if today would be the day. If my heart beat faster thinking about it, can you imagine how excited a young couple named Mary and Joseph felt? I only know that when I first saw the baby Mary had given birth to, my heart knew that I was looking at our deliverance.
For all the years I've waited, my hope has never died that I would see Messiah here before my very eyes. Now praise is overflowing, my heart is filled with song. Today I behold at last He's come. The Lord has been kind, the Lord has been faithful to us, the Lord has been good, we have His mercy and love. He sends redemption in the fullness of time. The Lord has been good. The Lord has been kind.
Prophecy of old at last. Mary and Joseph's story had taken quite a few miraculous turns. It included an angel's announcement, an incredible dream, a dangerous journey, a surprising birthplace, and some unusual first visitors. I wasn't much for watching the heavens, but those who did couldn't miss the new star shining so brightly.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone.
And guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of
the foundation for her life. Describing
wasn't aware of the miraculous birth that had taken place just 8 days earlier. But when I awoke that morning, the Spirit led me to the temple courts. The moment I laid eyes on him, I knew why. As I took Jesus in my arms, I was filled with praise to God that I had seen his salvation at last. Mary and Joseph seemed amazed at what I was seeing, and my heart was filled with compassion for them. How would this poor carpenter care for the Messiah? Did this humble girl have any idea of both the joy and the sorrow that awaited her in the life of this child?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters?
this wonderful story of hope once again. Let's go into the world and share the good news of Jesus with all those we meet.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lonely manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. All the world has joined.
To the world, the Lord is come. Find somebody, tell them you love them, all right? That means you got to move. That means when I say find somebody, that means move. You've been sitting down for 45 minutes. Will you help me do something? Can you help me hand out some study guides real quick? How about you? Can you help me hand out some study guides? Good morning. You can get your... He's 41 there. Wayne, will you help him hand them out? Yeah, give him about half of them and y'all split it up. You done good. You done real good. It's warm, ain't it? It's a tad bit warm. Y'all want a study guide? We're going to do a lesson with him. When y'all get done, if there's any left, we need a few up here in the choir for the study guide. Good morning, everybody. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If you have your Bibles, I do want to just say what an awesome job the choir did this morning. This week, tonight, there will be no Awana. And then Wednesday night we'll be having our regular service. But next Sunday, it is Christmas, and if you have plans to be with family and all that, we clearly understand. But at 2 o'clock next Sunday at here, we'll be having a service, a worship service, and it's going to be focused around the Lord's Supper, coming together and just recognizing that this babe that we're celebrating, this Messiah, is born to die on the cross for the remission of sins as the substitutionary death of those. Do we have enough or we need some more? Good deal, good deal. As you're turning to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I want to tell you it's good to be with you today, those of you that are in-house. We do have a lot that's sick today. It seems like school let out just at the right time, as the Petri dish exploded, and there are many that's sick. There's many that's traveling right now. We want to remember them in prayer. But if you're watching by Facebook or listening or in here with us today, just want to tell you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things. And this is a time of celebration and adoration, and we just want to tell Christ and make much of His worth in our lives. And after salvation that this Messiah, this Christ child came to give us, the next greatest gift is life. And I just thought it's awesome this morning that we have three brand new babies that are celebrating their first Christmas this year. And they're here with us today. So let's just give God the praise and glory for that as well. And got more on the way. Got more on the way. And it's not been easy, has it, my brother and sister, you know, but... we're so thankful. Do we have any other words of praise or testimony this morning? All right. Real quickly this morning, I'm not going to keep you long. I said I'd never preach a sermon yet, but this will probably be the closest to it. But this morning I want to talk about the names of the Christ child. As we've listened to the songs this morning, and as you've listened to the carols, and don't forget, Thursday night, the 22nd, there'll be caroling. There's a sign-up sheet that's been canceled. There'll be no caroling except at your house this Thursday night. Don't expect me to be there either, okay? There will be fellowship. Good deal. It's supposed to be hard cold, ain't it? Praise God, that's Christmas, right? But there's so many names, and we kindly played in, brother. We had a wonderful turnout yesterday at our men's prayer breakfast. So thankful for everybody that came to be a part of that. And Brother Wayne did a wonderful job. And then we had some time of adoration. And the aspect of the names of Jesus, you're going to hear many titles that the Christ child has. As you study all the different accounts, the prophecies, Matthew, Luke, all those different, Isaiah, And so this morning I want us to look at a few of those names. So I want you to stand with me. We're going to be jumping through scriptures, and the majority of it is there on the study guide this morning. But look there in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isn't that where I told you? All righty. Let's read that together if you would. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear his a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you have your study guide with you, then we see the fulfillment of that over in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. Read that with me if you can. Now all these took place to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for the time of worship and study that we've had in Sunday school and in the singing and the music. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and take your word and let us celebrate the birth of the Messiah as we consider his titles and all that he is to whosoever will believe. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We look at these names, and this morning there's about nine that we're going to look at. Nine different names, and we're going to do it pretty rapid, so just listen. But the first one there is Emmanuel, God with us. There's so many ways and that we can talk about how in Christ Jesus, the fulfillment of the title Emmanuel is a reality. It's translated that God is with us, or God in the midst of His people. And there's many different ways. The first thing that we think about is the arrival of the Messiah, that the Creator Himself entered in to His creation to be with and redeem His creation. Listen what it says over in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Praise God. Today, as we celebrate Christmas, we want that light to shine through us. We are the light of the world, is what He said. But notice, it goes on in John chapter 1, as we consider the Creator entering in to be with and redeem His creation, or the reality of God with us. Notice, John goes on to say in verse 11 of John 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as receive Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So as a first account witness, John is saying, I saw the reality of the Creator coming in to His creation. I witnessed the fulfillment of Emmanuel. I saw it, I heard it, and that's the testimony that He passes on to us. So as we celebrate the Messiah, we celebrate Emmanuel as the Creator came to be with His creation, but also we see it in the indwelling of all true believers. It tells us in the book of Romans that Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Jesus may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah today. Not only did the Christ child come and grow into a man, and that God Himself lived in His creation, with His creation, but today, immediately upon salvation and faith in Christ Jesus, He sets up at His throne in our hearts. He indwells with us, God with us. But then we also have the person of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. Capital H. You see today that we are the living testimony of Emmanuel. We're not celebrating something that happened and then stopped when Christ ascended. No, we still have Emmanuel living with us, living in us, to the point that He said, not only will I dwell with you, not only am I God with you, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. Emmanuel. Then there's the Christmas classic over in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now if you look at that right there, you can break it down into your copy of God's Word this morning may have a comma between Wonderful and Counselor. Some translations may not. I go with it this morning. As we look at it, we see Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You have adjective and noun. Adjective and noun. Adjective and noun. Now, if you put Wonderful and Counselor separate, no big deal. He is wonderful. Amen. You could put Wonderful in front of every title and it'd still be true. But look, we have Wonderful Counselor, or a superior sage. A superior sage. A profound philosopher. Distinguished for wisdom, mature and venerable, of sound judgment. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he is the superior sage. Just think about this. I told this to the men yesterday. Sports gambling is off the hook right now. You know, I mean, there's so many. And one of the advertisements they have is this: you make a bet every few minutes of every day, whether to turn left or to turn right, whether to eat the hamburger or to eat the salad. And you know what? That's the truth. When we live in this world, we have no promises of the next step, but we have a supreme guide that's always there. And He says that He will guide us in wisdom and in truth, but He's also the supreme confidant. The Bible teaches me over in the book of Hebrews that He was in all points tempted as I am, but yet without sin. He understands and He guides me and He leads me. And He's the greatest of all counselors, the greatest of all confidants. He's the supreme, or the superior sage. And then He is the mighty God. He is a strong and a sovereign creator. I want you to think about this. The Bible teaches us that before the foundations of the world, the plan of salvation had already been laid out. And the devil, through the Sanhedrin and through the all different types of believers or religious leaders there of that time, they tried to kill Jesus in many different areas, but at the right place, in the right time, at the right moment, He died. You see, what do we see there? We see the mighty God, the strong and sovereign Creator. He that reveals dynamic and impactful manifestations of His power and authority. Praise God, nothing is happening in America today unless God is allowing it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? He's not wringing His hands. He is the mighty God. And every power that is today is underneath His power, His authority, His control. And at the right moment, He'll say, that's enough. And He'll come and He'll call His church home. Then we have the Everlasting Father. We talked yesterday as the men, what a sensitive parent He is. I mean, think about this. How many of you have a parent, you stayed out too late and they come looking for you? I did. It wasn't good when they found you, was it? But praise God, the Bible says this, that no man comes unto Jesus unless drawn by the Father. He comes looking for us even when we don't know we need to be looked for. He is a father that seeks. He's a father who corrects. Listen, there in Hebrews 12:6, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. He scourgeth every son whom He receives. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten?" Hallelujah, we have a Father that corrects us. We see what happens when immature children are left to their own devices. We're seeing it in our society today. And thank God He did not leave me to my own devices, but He corrects me. He is a Father that corrects, as we consider as sensitive, the everlasting Father, the sensitive parent. He is the Father who secures. John 10:29-30, "My Father which gave them to me is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one." Hallelujah today. Hallelujah today. God does not do anything halfway. He does nothing halfway. When He says, "I give you life," John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him might have everlasting life." No, He says, everlasting life. Words have meanings. And meanings mean something. And everlasting means from that forth, from that point, forevermore. It means eternal. And when He does something, tells us in the book of Romans, I believe it's there in chapter 8, there at the end, "Nothing shall separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus." I didn't know I needed to be saved till He told me I needed to be saved. I didn't know how to be saved until He moved in my life and saved me. I still don't know how to be saved except for to trust Jesus. And I have no idea how to keep myself saved unless He's the one who's going to keep me. Amen. Then we see number 5, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the provider of serenity and assurance. The provider of serenity and assurance. I'm going to tell you this. I believe that there'll come a day, if we live long enough, that we'll ask to be taken out of these bodies as believers. I believe it, that we'll get to that point. I believe we see the world becoming to such a place that we'll ask God, "Take me from this world and deliver me into Your kingdom." We don't know when that day is going to come, but remember in Philippians chapter 4, I'm not saying I'm the most peaceful guy. You know I can get a little jittery every now and then, especially if I have Red Bull or coffee. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us this, that God provides a peace that is undescribable, but yet at the same time, it is unmistakable. You get that? I can't tell you how I have the peace. There used to be a time in my life when I'd lay down in the bed at night and I'd be scared to go to sleep, that I may not wake up the next day. Nothing has changed. That is still true. But what has changed is who holds my life. Now, I'm not saying I want to go tomorrow. No. I'm not saying I even want to go now, you know. But I'm saying that, all I can say is that the Messiah has come into my life. And it provides me with a confidence and an expectation. Not just a confidence, but an expectation. Oh, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the provider of serenity and assurance. And then there's what we see over in the book of Luke. And it is when Gabriel, if you see their location and event, this is when Gabriel visits Mary. And he lays out to her that God has found favor and He wants to bless her. And He tells her about the Son that's coming. And He gives a title in His declaration. In Luke chapter 1, verses 31 and 32, He says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus. And He shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Look in Luke 1:35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. I mean, you think about that. As the Son of God, Jesus is 100% deity. At the same time, He is 100% man. And in that, He is the exact image of God's authority and will. He is God in the flesh, the representative of the Godhead. There'll never be another one born like Him. How if He was conceived by the... Literally, how can He be 100% man if He was not conceived by a male? Well, it's called a miracle, right? I mean, miracles cannot be explained. This is another, that He is the Almighty God. Manifestations of power and performance. And then we move over into our last passage. There in Luke chapter 2. Location and event. The angelic birth announcement. The angelic birth announcement. We've been blessed. Like I said, God's given us children, babies. This is their first Christmas. And one of the best things, and many will say it, man, but I get excited not only just to announce the birth, but I get excited to announce the birth with my picture holding that baby. Am I right? Amen. If you've got a new baby. Exactly. That's one of the greatest things. Yes, we have to do funerals. Yes, we have to do counseling and stuff like that. But I also get to be there when the baby's born, right? And I get to hold it and smell it and all that stuff. And then, guess what else I get to do? Give it back. I get to give it back. But no, look what He says at this birth announcement. Luke 2:21. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. First off, He is the Christ, the anointed Messiah, God's special and perfect choice, set apart for His redemptive work on the cross. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He is the Christ. If you notice, in most Paul's writings, he does not say Christ Jesus, or he does not say Jesus Christ. He calls Him Christ Jesus. The title that goes along with Jesus, or that God is with us. And then you add that to Mass, the common term for public worship, usually around the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. That's what we're going to try to tie it to next week. But that is the heart of Christmas. That the babe born in a manger of a virgin, immaculately conceived, He is the chosen one of God. And then there, I skipped Savior. I looked up that word and how beautiful it is. It simply said one who rescues, one who delivers, one who keeps from destruction. One who rescues, one who saves, one who keeps from destruction. Praise God, we all need a Savior. And that's what Christmas is about, the Savior coming. The one, as we've studied before, when it said over in Genesis, recorded around 1,400 years before the birth, but declared probably at least 3,000 years before the birth, that there's coming one of a woman who will... You, Satan, will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. That is the Savior. He is the Christ. And then the beautiful one, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You remember when Mary said, after Gabriel told her, you're favored, God's going to use you to bring the Messiah. Remember, what did she say? I'm your maiden. I'm your maidservant. Let it be. You know what she said right there? I'm your slave. I've been, basically the picture is, I'm your bond servant. I'm not my own. I'm yours. Do with me as you would. And folks, when we say that He is our Lord and our Savior, to say He's our Savior, the one who delivers, if one who saves us from destruction, then don't we owe Him? Should He not be the one who has authority over our life? So see, we look at all these titles this morning. They're wonderful. They're awesome. They're great. Is He all those things in your life, number one? Is He your Savior? Or is He just a babe in a manger at Christmas? Because see, for a lot of people, He's never progressed from the manger to the miraculous resurrection. For some, He's never become the Prince of Peace. Never laid down those burdens. Remember what He says? Is there any among you that are burdened, weighed down? Bring them to me. Maybe for some today, yeah, we can say He's our Savior. We've truly given Him, we've asked Him to deliver us from destruction. We've confessed our sins. But what about that Lordship part? Brother Kay brought it out. It was an awesome thing. We look back at many great heroes and we think about Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. He says, I ain't going to Nineveh. I'm going the other direction. We look at Moses, and Moses says, well, I can't talk good. We look at others. There's always an excuse, but what am I, Mary? I'm your slave. Do with me as you wish. What a beautiful picture of servitude, right? Of the Lordship. I pray today that we recognize that He is our champion. You see, as I thought this week and I read this week, there are not enough words, titles, or adjectives for us to define how awesome the Christ child is. He is our champion. He is our all in all. He is more than enough. And that is what we're celebrating. We're not just celebrating the Immaculate Conception and the baby in a manger, but we're celebrating Jesus, the wholeness of who He is. We're looking back that He has always been. From before creation, He's always been. We're looking back to when He was conceived and born of a virgin. We're looking back at the sinless life that He lived. We're looking back at the day that He rose from the grave and the day He ascended into heaven. But hallelujah, we're looking ahead to when He comes back, not as a baby, not as a suffering servant, but He comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and when all is made new. That is what we're celebrating. Don't lose sight. Enjoy family. Enjoy food. Have a great time. But focus it around Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and if our piano player would come, we're just going to have just a time of recognition. Maybe today you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would love. And what better day than to have your spiritual birthday than that the season that we celebrate His physical birthday. Maybe today you need to just say, hey, I've been taking it for granted. But, you know, I need to stop and just worship You as my Lord. I need to stop and worship You as my Prince of Peace. I need to stop and worship You as the Emmanuel, the God who is with me. I need to stop and worship You as the everlasting Father. Or maybe today He's given you a title that I've not mentioned. And you need to acknowledge that. The altar is open. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the time You've given us to worship. But Lord, I just pray today that the Spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, will be allowed to move in this place for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe today you'd just like to come and say, I want to be a member. Ain't too hard to follow through with. Or maybe today you just want to grab a family member by the hand and come pray with them. Whatever your need is, as the pianist plays. Amen. Thank you, sister. I'm going to ask Brother Otis Bowen if he'd make his way behind the pulpit this morning. We do have some prayer needs, and I'm going to ask him to close us out. Let's continue to pray for Sister Jessie, as she's in the hospital and dealing with pancreatitis, I believe is what it is, and still, I think they got it kindly. The numbers was leveling off at least, not getting any higher yesterday afternoon. Also, we want to pray for the Worleys as they've got flu and Ubba in the house. And then Brother Adam and the family sick. We want to pray for them. So, like I said, a lot of sickness going around, but praise the Lord. It wouldn't be Christmas without it. It's that time of year. Do we have any other prayer needs that maybe need to call out this morning? Shirley Bledsoe. Anyone else? Sister Sally. Amen. Can I ask one thing and make the new parents a little bit awkward this morning? Would y'all just bring them up here front and let everybody look at them? Would y'all just bring them pretty babies up here? Y'all ain't got to do nothing else but just show them off like you in a pageant, all right? Come on, Miss Hannah. Come up here. Let everybody look at these things. Is this not a blessing? And can I tell you something else that's a blessing? Parents that have them in the house of God. Parents that have them in the house of God. So I'm just going to ask y'all, if y'all would, just let Brother Otis pray blessings over y'all's family this year as well. Brother Otis, God bless y'all.
Let us pray. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the message the pastor has presented to us, the many pronouns or adjectives that you have that we could never describe you. We could never thank you. We could never be like you, but we can try to be like you while we're here, because you're going to give us a likeness in heaven. And we just pray, Lord, your blessings upon the request that's been made publicly and in our hearts, the needs of our church and church family, some that couldn't be here, Lord, and those around us that don't even know your Savior. Many hundred, we have 100 or more on our list that are lost that we need to pray for. And we just thank you, Lord, for these families this morning that have come here with their babies, just as Mary presented her baby, Jesus. But he didn't, as Brother Brian said, he didn't stay a baby. He grew up to be a man. He grew up to die for my sins and your sins. And we thank you for it. So let's take Jesus out of the cradle and put him on the throne. We just ask you to be with each one this morning as we depart and go our separate ways. May you give us mercies and grace. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for being our Savior and for being our confidant. And again, we just thank you for the babies standing here before us. And may they someday come to know you in their heart and their lives. And thank you for loving us this day. We pray that you bless us, not because of our goodness and our mercy for you, to us, but for our love for you. And we pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.